Huttner explains that the Torah Hashem contains two very different models, that of a Mishkan and that of a Teva. A Mishkan represents what the Mishnah tells us in Kelim of Eser Kedushos, that there is a sense of an ascendance in the Torah Hashem. And therefore, in a certain sense, the Mishkan represents the peak, the citadel of a Kedushas HaMakom. And a Teva is a very different model. A Teva is something that is not an extension of, but rather that which is detached. And Rav Huttner explains that one reasonably understands sometimes when the society is something that is at odds with the Torah Hashem, you have to separate yourself and seek refuge in the Teva. And other times you can construct a Mishkan. And no doubt, personally, in the yeshiva institutionally, we always try to balance the combination of the Teva, which is a haven, an oasis, and the citadel of a Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. That balance is something that each one of us do personally, to be part of society when appropriate, but at the same time, at times it's necessary to detach yourself. And Baruch Hashem, that Rav Chaim Shlita is an example personally, and in terms of his legacy in Rabbanus and beyond, of that intricate balance, to be able to have an incredible hashpa on society at large, but at the same time, to be able at times to distance yourself, to set yourself apart, to recognize that at times that you have to seek a refuge, a haven, because of the raging seas that surround us. It's a great schus for the yeshiva, and personally as well, Rav Wein and my family go back a number of generations, and it is a great kavod to call upon him, to share Divrei Torah and Divrei Yisoros with us.
I'd like to thank the Rosh Yeshiva for his kind words. It's very nice to hear good things said about you while you are still vertical. Now, we all know the metaphor about the forest and the trees. And we find that even in halacha, so to speak, that we find that there were great poskim that concentrated on the trees, and there were others that saw the entire forest and therefore came to different conclusions. And the problem always is, as Rosh Yeshiva pointed out, the Torah is balance. That's the Pshat Torah Schayim. The Torah of life, the Torah of balance. And balance is hard to achieve. You know, when one becomes older, then one is thankful that one can somehow walk without help, because one has retained the sense of balance. If that is true physically, it is certainly true emotionally, because life has many, many winds that buffet us, and it's also true spiritually. So I want to talk to you about the idea of Jewish history, knowledge of Jewish history, appreciation of Jewish history. And I don't do it from at least I hope I don't do it from an egotistical sense. I certainly am not doing it from a commercial sense. But I think it's an enormously important way to achieve balance in viewing the Jewish world and in seeing yourself as part of Klal Yisrael. Somehow, not only to see yourself as Reb Yisrael, but to see yourself as Klal Yisrael, which is also a matter of a sense of balance. Because if you see yourself only as Reb Yisrael, so then we have the concept of Aniyas Nafshi Hitzalti, right? Then I have saved myself and everybody else can drown. I don't care. I don't care what happens in Eretz Yisrael. I don't care what happens to Jews anywhere. Especially he's not my type of Jew. And we'll make a shidduch with such a person. So, there's something lacking in that. Because when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam started us on our path, he did so with Avraham and Sarah. Your name will not be Avram, Kim Avraham. God changed his name. Ki Av Hamon Goyim Nesaticha. You're not going to be anymore Mr. Abrams. That's not good enough for me. You have to be Av Hamon Goyim. The whole world is yours. And you're responsible for the whole world. And therefore, Avram is responsible for Sodom and Amora as well. You know, if it would be up to us, probably, and we had a vision that God was going to destroy Las Vegas, or I can name other cities as well. Las Vegas is not special anymore. So we would say, go right ahead. They deserve it. And Avram fights. No, maybe there's 50, maybe there's 45, maybe 40, 30, 20, 10. Because he has a feeling of responsibility. Responsibility for others. And that was the whole idea of Matan Torah by Klal Yisrael. Or Lagoyim Nesaticha. You're the example for the whole world of what it's supposed to be. You're not what you are, then it has an effect on the world too. So how to see oneself in that light? How to see oneself in a broad picture? And one of the keys is knowing the story of the Jewish people. Is knowing something about ourselves. There's an entire industry here in the United States, I think it's all over the world, of genealogy. Because people don't know where they came from. Elizabeth Warren thinks she's a Cherokee. We don't know where we came from. So if I don't know where I came from, then I don't know who I am. So what do you want from me? But by Klal Yisrael, it was always imperative to know who you are. Are you a Kohen? Are you a Levi? Are you a Yisrael? Who were your grandparents? Where'd you come from? Because it didn't begin with you. Most of the world thinks that everything began with them. Until they came into the world, there was nothing. So we give it titles, millennials, whatever generation. But the basic thing is that it's all me. I came, this is it. And if that be the case, that naturally, the sense of morality, the sense of responsibility for others is under attack and wanes. The Gemara says, you know, in Tanakh, we have the great story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the three great Jews who defied the king Nebuchadnezzar, who refused to bow to the idol. So he cast them into a furnace of fire. and somehow they're saved. The fire does not consume them. So, anshe mofeis haim. They're a miraculous group of people. Three people cast into a furnace of fire and they walk out unsinged. So the Gemara asks, so then what happened to them? And the Gemara always asks that. After the nest, now what happened? We see that in the Chumash. After the Akedah. So what do we do after the Akedah? We can retire. Move to Florida. Don't have to do anything. So Rashi quotes the Medrash there that Avraham Avinu said, Hoya li lasio isha, what did I do here? He's 40 years old and I didn't guarantee a family, a continuity. The nest only served to force him to do more. So Hananya, Mishael, of Azariah, what happened to them afterwards? So there's one opinion, a remarkable opinion. It says, Tovu Barok. They drowned in the saliva and spittle that the non-Jews who witnessed the miracle spat upon them. And they said, Yesh lachem Eloha kozeh. You have such a God and you're all worshiping idols. Puy. What a Gemara. The Goyim realized that we're special. Otherwise, all of this wouldn't go on. The Goyim realized Eretz Yisrael is special. Otherwise, it wouldn't be up for a vote in the UN every day. That's a compliment to us. But we don't know what they're talking about. So we search for ourselves without knowing where we came from, without knowing who we are. And because of that, the Jewish world is, to a certain sense, not in balance. It's not what it's supposed to be. Great things are happening in our world. Baruch Hashem, have achieved an age that I never dreamt of. When I grew up in Chicago, so almost none of us knew a grandparent. Just the way it was. Today I have attended the bar mitzvahs of my great-grandchildren. Mimi Lele Avraham, Meiniko Bonim Sora. Who thought such a thing was possible? So I grew up in a time when the Jewish people were destroyed. I remember when the survivors limped into Chicago. The British had blockaded what was then Palestine. The Arabs said they were going to drive us into the sea. Everybody agreed that it was going to be so. The American Secretary of State told the President that if he sided with Israel, he would resign. We were nowhere, on the floor. And as far as Torah was concerned, or the study of Torah, or the numbers, we were almost extinct. Chicago had 250,000 Jews in the 1940s. And it did not have 1,000 Shomrei Shabbos. My father's synagogue, which was one of the largest synagogues on the west side that I remember. So I remember as a child, we used to attend the 9 o'clock minyan on Shabbos. So sometimes we came early, and I was an only child, so my father always took me. I was an adult from the time I was born. There are advantages and disadvantages. So when I was 9 years old, my father was learning Sachoshin with me, because he didn't know that educationally you're not supposed to do that. And that it would inhibit my social growth. Well, what could you do? It was going to Litvashiri, and that's the way they did it. So like, we come to shul early one Shabbos, and I notice pouring out of the shul are hundreds of men. So I said to my father, who are they? So he said, that's the first minyan, the early minyan on Shabbos. So today, the early minyan on Shabbos is where God davens, right? That's holy, because then you avoid everything else that the shul may have, including the rabbi. But in my time, I said, Daddy, what is the early minyan? And he wouldn't answer me. But somebody else, so overheard the conversation, said, all of these Jews are going now and they're going to take the trolley to go to work. So first they come Shabbos morning, and they hear Kriyas HaTorah, and they daven, and then you're going to get on the trolley and go to work on Shabbos, because otherwise they can't feed their families. Their children did not go to an early minyan. And their grandchildren did not even go to a later minyan. And their great-grandchildren married non-Jews. So where were we? So the Rabboni Shalom gave us an S, which is what Jewish history is all about. The Jewish history is the history of miracles, because under any ordinary circumstances, we should not be here. Shebechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. And sometimes they're more successful, and sometimes they're less successful. So without demeaning anything, but you know, 11 Jews, Rachmana Litzlan, got killed in Pittsburgh, so there's a rash in the whole Jewish world. But there were 10,000 a day in Auschwitz, and everyone was quiet. So, if you know the history, you know that somehow we're special. Somehow, we rebuild ourselves. Miracles happen. 6.8 million Jews, B'li Ayin Hara, live in Eretz Israel. Never were so many. Yerushalayim almost has 1 million people. Never had. The Dovi told us it would have it. Ketzon Yerushalayim b'moadeha. I was Sukkos in Yerushalayim. You couldn't walk on the street. There were so many people, B'li Ayin Hara. So it's what the Novi Yecheskel told you was going to happen. But who knows the Novi Yecheskel? And who sees it in that room and in that vision? So we rebuilt ourselves. And one of the great advantages that I have had, the Gemara says that they once asked Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, Rebbe, the editor of the Mishnah, the great Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Gemara is not free with titles. It's not like in our time. You can't buy an ad in the Gemara. So they asked him, how come you're so great? How come you made the Mishnah, Islasos Hashem? Why are you so special? There were other great people. So Rebbe answered. So he didn't answer, you know, I went to the mirror. He didn't answer that I did such a shidduch. And he didn't answer, you know, I devoted all my life to Torah. Or he didn't answer, look at all the charity that I gave. Rebbe said, Pamachas Raisi es Rabbi Meir Me'achoro. I once saw the back of Rabbi Meir. Ili Roisi Lefonov, if I would have seen him head on, Roisi Mechadadei Tvei, I would be a greater man. So I can say that I saw the back of Rabbi Meir without demeaning Chas V'Sholem anybody. But I had all European Rabbonim teach me. I had all literature Rabbonim teach me. So Rabbi Rogov Zachrona Livrocha didn't know that the 4th of July, the Yankees and the White Sox play a doubleheader and we don't want to go to Shear. So he said Shear, so we all went to the Shear because we didn't want to hurt him. We all wanted to go to the doubleheader. And Remendel Kaplan used to tell us about Reb Yeruchim. And my father used to tell me about Reb Shimon Shkob. And I saw great men of Lita who still survived. So therefore I felt differently. I went to public school. There was no Jewish school then until Rabbi Sachs's grandfather founded the school. But by then I was already in seventh grade. I'm a product of the American public school system, except that my father would pick me up every day at 3 o'clock and we go home and have a glass of milk and a cookie, and then we'd learn for 2.5 hours. I didn't know that was a problem. My famous story, which I hesitate to repeat, but, you know, when you become old, you can say whatever you want. Doesn't make a difference. They're not going to invite you to the Aguda convention anyway, so just forget it. So I was once riding in an automobile with my friend Dr. Twersky, Rabbi Dr. Avram Yeshua Heschel Twersky, the famous psychiatrist, and a great, great Jew, whatever. And we went to the same yeshiva. He's a little older than I am. He was an Eli, a tremendous Eli. Rabbi Kreischer used to say on him that in Lublin, Voltegeven Alini, an Eli. But he has a wicked sense of humor, which is very good for Jews. And so we were in the back of a car, and in the front of the car were two famous Rashi yeshiva, you know, Moetzes caliber, and Twersky wants to start up. So Twersky says to me, Beryl, he says, you know, you and I, we have a very good secular education. We went to public school. So I said, yeah, Shia, it's right, you know. I remember Miss McCarthy in second grade taught you how to read. And you'd better learn how to read. We had all Irish spinster, was entirely Jewish student body, and entirely Irish Catholic spinster teaching group. And it worked. So I said, yeah, we had a good secular education. So one of the Rosh Yeshiva in the front says, Ich habe ich gegangen in public school. I also went to public school. So Tversky looks at him quizzically. He said, okay, if you said you went, you went. The other one, who's the last person in the world that you would suspect of such a heresy, says, Ich habe ich gegangen in public school. I also went to public school. Satorsky says, I don't believe you. Satorsky, she said, what do you mean you don't believe me? I'm telling you, I went to public school. Satorsky says, prove it. Sing Silent Night. Which all of us can do. Because if he went to public school, that was public school. And that was the generation. And no one imagined what could be built, except for a few people. You're sitting in a place where a visionary, who everyone mocked, saw that something could be built. He saw that after the nest, so now what do we do? I always say the seer, again, from the Novi Yecheskel. So the Novi Yecheskel has a vision. So Machlokes is in the Rishonim, whether it's a real vision or whether a dream, but anyway, he has a vision. And he records it for us. So he sees this great valley full of dry bones. Chazal say those are the 30,000 Jews that left Egypt early. And he hears a voice that says to him, Asichyeno atzoma soele. Are these bones ever going to live again? And he, non-committal. Aho Hashem alakim atoyodea. God, you know, you can do anything. I don't know what's going to happen here. And the Lord tells him, Inove alat soma soele, prophesy. And the wind comes, and the bones attach and become skeletons, and the skeletons grow muscle and tissue and skin. And then a wind comes and infuses them with breath. Ayamdu al raglayim kohol godol mo'od. And they stand on their feet, and mighty 30,000 people. And the Lord tells them, Atzom Israel, Kol Beis Yisrael, Hema. That's the mission here. They're the Jewish people. Dry bones, dead as could be. But I'm going to revive them and bring them home. So again, the Gemara asks, so then what happened? The Gemara always asks that question. So then what happened? Right, that's great. So there are two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is Omdu Aglehem. They stood upon their feet. Veomru Shira. And they said Hallel. And then they all dropped dead again. Great miracle, they all dropped dead again. And they said this over in the Beis Medrash, Omad Reb Yudah ben Pseira al Raglov. Reb Yudah ben Pseira stood on his feet and he said, Chas v'chalina, that you should say such a thing. Hello, they got up, Nosu Noshim, they got married, Yoldu, they gave birth to children. And the proof is, Anini b'nei b'neiyam. I'm descended from them. Utfilin shalavi abo biyodi, my Zeta's tefillin on my hand. So the Chassam Sofer and others say, so then what does the Gemara? One says they dropped dead, the other one says, oh, I'm descended from them. So he says that oftentimes in the Gemara, the contradictions are not contradictions, both are true. There are Jews that sense that a miracle has happened and they drop dead again. So what's it got to do with me? So we got out of the Holocaust. So we have a state. So what? What has it got to do with me? I can do whatever I want. I can go to whatever school. I can marry anyone I want. I can be what. Nothing to do with me. I have no responsibility. And others say, Chas v'chalila. Have to have a family. Have to pass on my tefillin. I have to have generations. I have to create. I have to be responsible. That's what it means to have balance. That's what it means to be the heir to Avraham Avinu. That's what it means. Av Hamon Goyim. That's what it means. Lo Yikore Shimcha Yaakov Gim Yisrael. Ki Sariso Em Elohim V'Odom V'Tuchol. We're always wrestling. It's not a one-time thing. And those of us that are therefore privileged to find themselves in such a place of Torah with such opportunities, with such a world, should realize Ashreinu, Matov, Chalkeinu, Manoim, Goraleinu, Mayofa, Yerushaseinu, who we are. That itself will give us the sense of history that builds within us the sense of destiny, and through it we will be privileged to see great and good things yet in lifetime and in the future for all of Israel and all of mankind. Thank you. Chodesh Tov.
Now we got that connection.
Yeah.